So a few months ago, I was listening to our app that we've talked about. Well, it's not our app, but an app that I've talked about. And Tom's mentioned Lectio 365, where you can log on there and they give you a devotion in the morning and night. In fact, I think they've added a lunchtime one too. And it's beautiful, lovely accents, better than mine. And Bible passages, and it's just short and it takes you through. And they used a description of Jesus' mission that I had never heard before, and that was determined love. And I'm sure, like you, you've heard love described in a million ways. I'm wearing my cute heart sweater, not as cute as the kids, but you know, the love heart has become symbolic for love in society now, and we've heard lots of sermons, I'm sure, if you've been in church for a while. And I just thought, you know what, determined love like really hooked in my brain. I just couldn't get rid of it. I was like, that is like such a great way to describe what Jesus is all about. So last week Tom reminded us that Jesus came to us with surprising joy. Today my prayer is that the Holy Spirit will really anchor in our hearts that Jesus came to us with determined love. So stories of determined love are all through the Bible. This is not surprising because the Bible is the account of who God is, and God is love. So today we're going to look at three different expressions of determined love. We're going to look at Joseph's story, Jesus' mission, and our commission. So before we get to talking about Joseph, let's talk a little about how we would define how we could talk about determined love. So we all know people that have been determined, right? Or are determined, okay? They're determined to lose weight. They're determined to quit smoking. They're determined to get that promotion or the degree or learn a new skill. And we've watched them and we could probably give a good description of what determination looks like. We're coming up to, I think, like the most determined week in the calendar. Does anyone know what it is? January 1st, right? All our New Year's resolutions, we're all determined to get out there and make our changes and be the ones that make it stick. One of my favourite memories, and Tilly's here today, but of determination was when she was about 2.5 years old, she would stand and stomp her foot and say very loudly, blah, 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 blah. It was actually lechen body way was the little saying. We had no idea what that was. For months, I'm talking months, lechen body way, like, understand me, please, like, get me what I want. I still to this day, I'm sorry, Tilly, we failed you. We never worked it out what it was, but she was determined until she could speak. I guess at some point it got replaced with whatever it was that she wanted, but that determination to stick it, asking for the same thing over and over and over for months is just a really cute memory, and we have a good laugh about it because it's in the baby book and the girls love to read their things that they did when they were little. But determination is described as being a firm decision, usually with a goal, and being resolved not to deviate from it. So let's look at what determined love in the Bible is. An overarching thing. It's rooted in God's love, and it works all the time to fulfill God's plan. The rooting, we know that term from gardening. Those of us that are gardeners, it's establishing a plant. If you don't get those roots to grow, forget it, right? You're looking at a stick. You're not looking at a plant. That is where love starts. It's rooted in God's love. And it works always to fulfill God's plan. On your sheets that you got, there's a whole big passage from 1 John on the back under the title God's Love and Ours, I think it is. I'm going to be using those sheets a lot, so just follow along. If you find verse 9 in that passage from 1 John, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. And if you jump down to verse 16, God is love. So this determined love that's rooted in God's love, fulfilling his plan, has four characteristics that we're going to talk about today. And it's like a little checklist we'll apply to each of the stories. Number one is a surrendered heart. This is a heart that yields control to the Holy Spirit, a heart that hands over its desires and relies and trusts on God. A surrendered heart experiences sorrow for their wrongdoings. It's a heart that chooses a path of obedience. And I will let you in on a little secret. A surrendered heart taps into the power source of how to love others fully. The second characteristic of determined love is selfless commitment. This, just the two words there, right? I don't even need to explain it. It's when we are committed and dedicated to putting others' needs in front of ours, not expecting any gain, reward, recognition, and it's motivated by an eternal perspective instead of self. The third thing, sacrificial action. This can be something really tiny, like smiling at someone who's having a hard day, or you don't know if they're having a hard day, they may just need a smile. It could be a really huge gesture, like giving up something, money, your job, taking the blame for something, some huge grandiose gesture, and all the things in between. But it's giving up something that's valuable to us, time, comfort, possessions, and doing it for the well-being of others. And lastly, steadfast endurance, standing firm, carrying on, holding on to hope despite trials, hardships, delays, and continuing to be obedient. So as we think about these four things that make up determined love, let's look at the story of Joseph. And you have that on your sheet. It's the whole one side. It's sort of like the abbreviated version from Matthew. Or if you have your Bible, you can turn to Matthew 1. And we're just going to go through and look at this story of Joseph. He is a central character in the Christmas story, right? He's right there in the middle of the nativity. He literally gets a tiny little section of verses and then disappears, as central as he is. And so we're going to look at the part where he actually, we hear about him and we read about him. The funny thing is, some more of the verses that are in there, they're not of the ones that are when later in Jesus' life, when he's trying to claim who he is and say, I am coming with God's authority, there's all these people who are like, what, isn't he Joseph's son? Like, poor Joseph, like, you know, as if that was all he, the mention he gets. But we're going to look at the part where he is lifted up and described as someone who showed determined love. So let's look at the things we know about Joseph. We know he's a carpenter, and we know that he belonged to the house of the line of David. And this is so important because it fulfills prophecies about a future perfect king who's going to come bringing ultimate peace and restoration from the line of King David. So Matthew 1 verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. So this description of Joseph, faithful to the law, in some other translations, there's the phrase just man, which Dan actually, I think, spoke about Noah as one other person in the Bible is described as a just man, or a righteous man. It's somebody who is surrendered to God. Remember that first point in the checklist, heart surrendered to God? It's somebody whose justness has come entirely from their closeness with God, their relationship with them, that rooted in God's love. And God alone is the one who can be righteous, and he shares his righteousness with us. So when someone is described as righteous, it's because they are close and have drawn near to God in order for him to share their righteousness. Now, the Jewish law would have demanded that Mary, pregnant out of wedlock or out of the final stages, the covenant sort of went for a whole year in Jewish times. They sort of became betrothed to each other, treated as man and wife, and then finally after a year or so they would move in together and live as man and wife. Someone found unfaithful, the law demanded that she be stoned to death. So when Joseph was considering this, divorce her quietly and send her away, which sounded kind of like harsh at first, right? That actually was the gracious and merciful option. He was wanting to protect Mary from public shame, and he was placing himself at odds with societal norms. So his selflessness, remember selfless actions, commitment, brought him into this decision and understanding that the most loving and less harmful thing to do was to divorce Mary and let her go away quietly. Verse 20. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Jesus woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. That third point of sacrificial action, the sacrificial action is not the not being able to consummate the marriage in this passage. It is the fact that he woke up from a dream and obeyed God straight away, despite what that would mean for him and what the people around him said. On Friday when we were talking about this at Seniors Bible Study, someone said, he woke up and realized he was in a prophecy that he knew all about. Like, he knew the Old Testament. He was a faithful Jewish man. And he was like, I'm in it. That's me. I'm the guy. And he did what he was called to do. He loved Mary well. And then finally, the rest of his story, which is the bottom part of that page with some chunks taken out, I'll give you the Cliff Notes version, is his determined love and steadfast endurance. Because after doing what he was commanded to do, to take Mary and Jesus to his birthplace, Herod started looking for them. He got jealous. So a Lord appeared to him in a dream again and fulfilled another prophecy, and then he woke up and he got them and he moved them out of there and took them to Egypt. And then he had another dream and Jesus said, get going and go to Israel. So he packed them up and he moved to Israel and fulfilled another prophecy, and then back to Nazareth. It was like rinse and repeat. And every time Joseph was faithful and he obeyed what he was asked to do, and he was steadfast and endured right to the end. This long-term obedience is what determined love is. And I was thinking, we have Jesus because of Joseph. He protected them. He made sure that they got to go where Jesus told them to go. And we only hear of him two more times after this. Once is when he's taking Mary and Jesus to the temple to be consecrated, and then once when Jesus was about 12 years old and they lost him for a little minute there, like 24 hours, and then they went and found him and he was sitting in the temple courts in Jerusalem, amazing people with his wisdom and knowledge, Jesus, and Joseph and Mary are like, didn't you know we were looking for you? They were really true, loving parents. And I think all the unwritten lines between what we know of Joseph when Jesus was born right through to when he sort of disappears off the radar was, I think, him determinately loving Jesus and being the amazing earthly father that he needed to be, modeling off his heavenly father what love looked like. And so now we come to Jesus' mission, because Jesus did grow up. He even went older than 12 years old. And last week, Tom talked about the announcement of him as a baby. And then he also mentioned this passage that we're going to look at. And from baby to his earthly ministry, to his death, to his resurrection, to his life now, we call the gospel, right? And the gospel means the good news. And Pastor Tim Keller says, the gospel is good news, not good advice. He goes on to explain that the advice tells you what to do, but the gospel, or good news, reports what has already been done for you by God through Jesus. The gospel requires a response of faith and joy, not effort or self-improvement like other religions' advice. The good news is that God came to earth in the person of Jesus to fix what's broken in our lives and the world and offer a way back to him through his death and his resurrection, and it's available to anyone who believes. That's it. And as we've been learning in our Genesis series, and as we read this Christmas story today, our God, the God of the Bible, is the only God, and Christianity is the only religion where God comes down to us or comes searching after us, and we don't have to do anything to warrant him searching for us. So we pick up Jesus' story. He's growing. He's about to launch his earthly ministry. And last week, Tom said he did it with a scroll drop. Do you remember that? Like a mic drop. And this passage in Luke, he opens a scroll in the temple and reads from it about who he is, why he's here, and what he's about to do. Now, the passage references a passage and a prophecy from Isaiah. And I was like, okay. So I went there and I was like, hey, this doesn't match the passage in Luke. What's going on? It should be the same, right? If you're going to open a scroll and quote Isaiah. Okay, how do Americans say Isaiah? I'm having a hard time. Isaiah, okay. In Australia, it's Isaiah. And so I'm having it, my brain is like, every time I go to say it, Isaiah. This passage was from the Greek Septuagint, which is like a translation of the Hebrew Old Testament, and it's like a paraphrase of a few familiar Isaiah texts that people would know, people would recognize. And so when Jesus read it, it's actually sort of like drawing from a few different, and I've put actually the full list on your sheet there because I'm going to read through what would have been the full list if we read like the whole, all the passages rather than just Luke, because I think it really shows the fullness of what Jesus was about to do, what he did do, what he still does today as he ministers to us. So let's read through. I think I have it up there. Yes, good. All right. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up and read, and the scroll of the prophet of Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it was written. So now go to your notes in front of you. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me. So Lord in capital letters is like God's personal name. He's talking about God, his Father. To proclaim good news to the poor. As we read this list, take a minute to think, where did Jesus meet me? What part of this mission and action and determined love got to you, either when you didn't know him, or maybe recently, or maybe more than once? Just look for it. Keep your eye out for this, because this is the freedom, the lightness, the freedom. I keep coming back to the same word in my head, freedom that he brings us. And if we're sitting here and we know Jesus, one of these things was true for us. So the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. This is a message of hope, restoring dignity, practical help, spiritual freedom, God's love and justice. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, just like a physician who takes bandages and binds up wounds. Jesus came to heal and comfort and reach into deep emotional pain and spiritual pain and offer freedom and wholeness and healing. He gave courage to mend shattered spirits by binding up the brokenhearted. He came to proclaim freedom for the captives. If you've experienced release from physical or spiritual bondage or addiction, freedom from shame, from guilt, from fear, this is what Jesus came to do. Release from the darkness for the prisoners. He came with a key to the prison door and he liberated people from sin and despair. He has opened light and truth for us so that we can be free. He came to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This was just declaring that his ministry was going to be a time of divine grace and unmerited favor and immense healing and forgiveness. He came to provide for those who grieve, a crown of beauty instead of ashes, an olive oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise. God does not forget you in your grief. He promises to exchange painful life experiences for hope and strength and God's presence. Deep sorrow turns into divine comfort, allowing people to give thanksgiving and worship in their darkest days. He came to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke and set the oppressed free and break every yoke. A few months ago, I talked about what a yoke was, and I had pictures up there of oxen, right, with this heavy load. He came to fight injustice, lift heavy burdens, to break people free from bondage and systems and practices and idolatry and exploitation and abuse and wickedness and sin. And this last one is my one. When I was a teenager, I feel like this is, I'm sure it happened to other people too, but for me, this is the one that gets me every time, is when I read about he opened the eyes that are blind. When I was in high school, I was really convinced that the whole thing that I'd had to do going to church for most of my life was just like a waste of time, and I didn't get it, and my friends were doing were much more seemed more interesting. And I literally said to God, I'm like, if you are true, you need to like show me. And he did. He opened my eyes, and I've loved being in his relationship with him ever since that day when he showed up, because he opened my eyes and he took away that darkness that was across it. So as you've looked at that list and as you've thought about those things, you understand why as Jesus stood there and he read those things and then he closed the scroll, he said, this is being fulfilled. And it was like a scroll drop. He's like, this is happening, people. I'm here to do this. And he did. For the next 3 years, his earthly ministry, if you have not read the Gospels and you don't know much more than like Jesus was born at Christmas and he died at Easter, I really encourage you to take a Bible from the back of one of these seats and read anywhere, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Mark is a great place to start, and it really tells you about Jesus' earthly ministry, what he did between the scroll drop and the cross. Back to 1 John 4, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his Son, the one and only, into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as atoning sacrifice for our sins. In those Gospels, you will read about Jesus' surrendered heart. He says in John, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. You will read about his selfless commitment. For even the Son of Man, which is another name for Jesus, came not to be served, but to serve. You will read about his sacrificial action. I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. And you'll read about his steadfast endurance, where on the cross he said, it is finished, but then continued to live 3 days later, rise to heaven, sit with God, and still love us, still fulfill his mission and determine love to this day. And like finally, there's our commission. This is a hard one, right? Because those four things are really big and hard and can seem overwhelming if you read those four parts of determine love. But you know what? If you found something in that list that we went through, if you acknowledged a moment when Jesus stepped into your life and broke you open to his love, there are people in the world that need to have that exact same experience and moment. And have we got time? Oh, we've got time. I don't know about you, but like, have you ever been sort of down that rabbit hole of like, why did Jesus come when he came? Like, why did God pick that time and that day to step into history? Like, he could have picked any day. Well, number one, there was like a lot of prophecies, like we've heard all through the last week, this week, that were going to be fulfilled, right? So God had a plan. He already had it sort of scripted out when it was going to happen. There were people that, if you read in that account of Joseph, when they go to the temple, there's people there who are like, God told me I was going to still be alive when the Messiah came. So like, that's a pretty big timeline you have to fit to, right? People can't live forever and wait around. So there was two people in particular who truly believe God said they would meet the Messiah. Also, and this is the part that I just like got all down the rabbit hole on, is it was right in a time of history where the Roman Empire had built like roads and ways for people to get around and talk to each other and take news, because the good news is something that needs to be reported, right, and shared. And it's specifically designed to continue to be reported and shared. And the only way that can happen is if we report it and share it, right? So now, thank you, Romans, for those Roman roads. But it all worked together, right? God had a plan. And determined love just fulfilled that plan. And it got that it started with the disciples, which, do we have that verses there? Did I give you those verses, Donata? The Great Commission. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. I always look at that word commission and I sort of imagine co-mission, like it's us with Jesus doing the thing, right? And sharing the news. And allowing other people in our life to know and to hear about Jesus' determined love in our life. Sometimes I am not doubting we can do it through actions. Sometimes that's all it takes. But other times I really was really challenged by the Holy Spirit this week when I was looking at this, that we need to tell people, we need to put it into words, and we need to trust that people are experiencing the exact same brokenness or bondage or grief that we were going through when Jesus stepped into our lives. And guess what? It's good news, because he loves us. He came just to love us. We don't have to do anything else, just to believe and be loved by the creator of the universe. So I'm going to get Diana to click on a slide in a minute that will put up the five things. Oops, just hang on one second. The four things that we talked about, and the reminder that determined love is rooted in God's love, and it's part of fulfilling a plan. And I just want to give you a couple of minutes to sit. You have all these love verses. If you read that whole passage on God's love, it's amazing. You have Jesus' mission there. You have the reminder of Jesus' story, Joseph's story. You have maybe the Holy Spirit talking to you about who in your life might need to hear the good news, who might need to know about Jesus' determined love for them. And I'm just going to give you two minutes to pick something to reflect on out of those options, and then I'll close in a benediction. And I think we'll get to eat cookies. Heavenly Father, may your kingdom come and your will be done in and through each of us. Fill us with your Spirit and give us the courage to speak and act with determined love. Direct us so that we can join in with your mission. Amen.